We come across it elsewhere, don't we, in the Bible? Can you think of where the number of 40 comes up in other places? Can you think? Moses, yes. Where was Moses for 40 days? On Mount Sinai, yes. He was talking to God for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai. Very good. Any other 40s that you can think of? Oh, Richard.
The Israelites were 40 years in the wilderness.
They were indeed 40 years. They were in the wilderness as well, weren't they? In the wilderness, yes. 40 years for them. So that's two. Noah. Fantastic, yes. Noah, rained, didn't it, for 40 days and 40 nights. Feels like it's been doing that this year. In fact, I think it has rained in some parts of the country for 40 consecutive days. I think it probably has here as well. So yes, 40 days of rain. Any others? We're kind of getting into the kind of lesser well-known stuff here now. I think Elijah was on the mountaintop as well, wasn't he, for 40 days. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was 40 days and nights as well, when he hid in the cleft of the rock as God passed over. But very good. Yes, 40 days and 40 nights, or 40 years in one instance. 40 is an important number in the Bible. And Jesus went into the desert to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you think why do you think God wanted to test Jesus in this way? Any thoughts on that? I mean, it wasn't just Jesus saying, "Oh, look how amazing I am! I can go without food and water and stuff for 40 days." It was done for a reason, I think. Any thoughts on what that reason might be? That could have been it. That could have been it. Yeah, that's one possible reason.
Because God wanted people to rely on him.
Aha. I think that's closer, yes. I think God wanted to, you know, to make sure that, you know, Jesus was going to be coming, face huge numbers of temptations, wasn't he, in his ministry. He was given all these powers and, of healing and casting out demons and everything. And he's also going to have to undergo great trials, going to death on the cross and being persecuted and, you know, things that would have been too much for any human being. God had to be sure that Jesus was, you know, going to go ahead with this plan, this God's plan of salvation. And so, before anything else, God led Jesus through the Spirit to be tempted and tested by Satan. And goodness, how he was tested, wasn't he? Can any of us imagine going out into the desert? I mean, how long would we survive without food and water in the heat? Not long, I think. And then, not just that, but to be tempted as well. And when we read this passage, it's really interesting just to dwell on it as well, because the way Satan tempts Jesus is very cunning, because what does he do? He uses Scripture, doesn't he, to test Jesus. He quotes Scripture, doesn't he, when he takes him to the holy city, to Jerusalem, and puts him on the highest point of the temple and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." And then he quotes this passage, where is it from? From Psalm 91. "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So don't worry about throwing yourself off the top of the temple. The angels will catch you. You won't come to any harm. And in return for this, you know, Jesus promises him great things. So the devil is very cunning. And he's cunning too because he waits until the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, until Jesus is at his weakest, before he tempts him with all these things. So to start with, Jesus is absolutely famished after not having eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. So that's when the devil chooses to tempt him to make those stones into loaves of bread. And then he takes him to the top of the highest mountain and tempts him with power, doesn't he? Ruler of all the world. He plays to all Jesus' weaknesses. But Jesus remains steadfast, doesn't he? What does Jesus do? He too quotes scripture, doesn't he? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And, sorry, I've just lost my place. And when, yes, when the devil quotes from the psalm about the angels saving him, Jesus responds, "Do not let the Lord your God, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Quoting from Deuteronomy. And then when the devil takes him to the highest mountain to promise him power over all the world, Jesus again quotes scripture, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." But it just reminds us, doesn't it, that the devil, you know, we're not the only ones who know the Bible and follow it. Satan knows scripture as well. He knows every word of the Bible. He knows also all our weak spots, just like he tried to expose Jesus' weaknesses. And so we have to be on our guard, and we need to know our Bible too, so that we can respond and use that when Satan tries to tempt us. Amen?
Amen.
And we know that Satan particularly likes to tempt churchgoers and Christians, because we're the ones who are working to thwart his plans. And he likes nothing better than to tempt us and, you know, prevent us from working towards the coming of God's kingdom. So we need to be especially on our guard. So what sort of things does Satan do to tempt us? What sort of things do you think he does? What are our weaknesses?
Sinful.
Yes, all the sins of the flesh. So, you know, greed for food and, you know, more alcohol, gambling, you know, all those temptations. That's certainly one of them, isn't it? Yeah. Money. That's always a big source of temptation, isn't it? Power, yes. Power, status, you know. Jesus was tempted with that, wasn't he? Tempted with being the most powerful person in the world. Everything, all the palaces, all the money, all the wealth could have been his if he'd bowed down and worshipped Satan. Well, we may not be tempted with quite that much. But power is seductive, isn't it? You know? And the more power we have, the more we want. It's the same with money, isn't it? You know, those, you know, the professional footballers and so on who have been paid millions of pounds a week, you find they're never happy with that because they see someone else who's paid more than them and they want even more. So what you have is never enough, and that's why these things are so dangerous. So yes, power, money, possessions. Yeah, we're tempted in all sorts of ways. And Satan knows very well all our weak spots. So, this season of Lent is a chance for us just to reflect perhaps on those ways that we are drawn, distracted away from following God in our lives, those ways that Satan seeks to distract us from the path that we should be on. And for us to refocus ourselves, focus on Jesus and on the cross in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So these 40 days are a chance for us to do all those things. And especially as we get closer to Holy Week and Good Friday and preparing ourselves inwardly for those things that are to come. So it's a sort of spiritual cleansing as well, isn't it? Yeah? Some people like to deny themselves a bit and give things up during Lent, you know, as a sign of that, you know, self-denial. Is anyone giving up anything here? Carbohydrates? Aha. Okay. Yep. Anyone else?
Coffee.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a difficult one. Do you look forward to your breakfast coffee every morning?
Yeah, mocha.
Mocha.
Yeah.
That's going to be... if you can do that for 40 days... That would be very impressive. Yeah, we'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
My sister. I think we'll all be praying for you. Anyone else? Children, are you going to be giving up anything?
Sweeties.
Anything beginning with C? Anyone giving up some chocolates, maybe? Don't be shy. Okay. Sweets. Sugar. So if you can do that, you'll be doing well. Okay. But sometimes, you know, we don't You know, giving things up is one thing. Maybe starting doing something as well is a good thing to do in Lent. Maybe reading your Bible a little bit more. Praying every day, if you're not already. Yeah. So doing something positive. Maybe something, you know, using your money maybe to a better purpose. So instead of using our money on sort of frivolous things, saving it and giving it to a charity. There are quite a lot of things we can do, aren't there, to in a positive way as well, as we travel this journey of Lent. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that this season offers, these 40 days and 40 nights. And as we remember your temptation in the desert, where you went through such trials and temptations, help us to align ourselves with you as we begin this season, to make it an opportunity to look at our lives, to turn away from those things which are not in line with your will, and to take up our crosses and deny ourselves as we walk towards Good Friday and Easter. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.